April 9th, 7:27 a.m. Beautiful day. It's a little chilly. It's like almost 40, not quite. It's too cold to go without gloves, and almost too warm to wear them. I've got my fleece hood on. That should cut down on the little breeze. It's just the tiniest of breezes blowing. I put the hood on because below 40, you're never sure when you come out. Is it going to be too cold for the ears? And I've become quite spoiled by being warm enough. So, anyway, yesterday was not exactly the Easter Sunday of story and song. Because yesterday was rather a nice day, and for a whole slew of factors that I don't want to get into, I found myself doing yard work yesterday morning at a point where I should have been walking. So I thought, well, okay, I'll do a little yard work and then I'll stretch out and do the walk. It's like, no. We're still cleaning up the brush that fell from the trees last October. It's getting to the point now where it's becoming a serious issue and I've got to get it dealt with. So I went over yesterday and got the buck saw and an axe. And so I'm equipped. It works perfectly. It's exactly what I needed and didn't have. And I'm surprised that it took me months to consider what it was that I did need. The thing is, these are manual tools. I could have bought a chainsaw. But the problem with those is that those aren't tools I grew up with. I grew up around them, but not with those tools in my hand. I grew up with an axe in my hand. I grew up with a buck saw or bow saw in my hand. I grew up with all of these rather low-tech but highly efficient tools. And while perhaps it's not as efficient as a chainsaw, it does the job. And I don't really need a chainsaw for the few times a year where I need to carve up a limb that's fallen down or I need to take a limb off a tree. I have a small pruning saw, but it's only like 10 inches long. And so it's like wear the branch off more than actually saw. The bow saw, you get a good stroke, you get a good draw, and it doesn't take very long to get through a 6-inch limb. So I tried those out, got those going. Those do exactly what I need. They'll be fine. But before I got too carried away with what I was doing there, I went and turned on the sprinkler system because it's getting to the point where we really need to have the irrigation on the lawn because it's beginning to turn brown. There are patches of it that are already dead. So it needs some work. So the problem with that, of course, is that when you turn these things on in spring, only about half of them work. And what you wind up doing is digging out the broken heads, replacing them with fresh heads, and then trying to figure out how to get them screwed down tight enough so that they don't leak. It's a total pain in the butt. Not just a marginal pain, but total pain in the butt. Between the muck and the mud, the dirt, and the digging. And the digging is always right next to a sidewalk, or in the roots of a tree, or someplace quite unhappy in terms of ability to excavate easily. So I did Zone 3, which is one of the more problematic zones every year. in large part because at some point in the summer, head doesn't retract and disappears in the tall grass, and I mow it. And of course, while I don't see it, the lawnmower blade finds it, and I see little bits of sprinkler head rattling out onto the sidewalk through the exhaust chute. So it's kind of a pain in the butt, because then you have to dig them up, replace the head, put them back in again. So I bought a half a dozen heads while I was at the store. I got a couple of the pop-ups. I got a couple of the rotary ones, because I know I'm going to need them. In fact, I found another one already that needs to be replaced, and I'll get to that. But after 2.5 hours out in the hot sun in the middle of the day, discretion needed to be the better part of valor. I went in and collapsed, almost literally collapsed. It was rather a long day. And I roasted a turkey yesterday for Easter. Roast turkey is our beast of choice around the household. And while I know other people did ham and such, I did turkey. And it was quite yummy. Turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, fresh asparagus in honor of the season. So it was a good day, mostly, off and on, in parts. It was also exhausting. I'm walking off the lameness this morning. My hips are telling me that I overdid it yesterday with the getting down, standing up, getting down, standing up, getting down, standing up. My hips are killing me. Cars everywhere. I'm going to step well back. Let the cars do what cars do. There we go.
Which leads me back to Saturday. I was going to go home and finish the Divine Inspiration story. But no, I won't publish that on Easter. That would be a bit disrespectful, I think. As disrespectful as a book, a story entitled Blasphemy in Three Acts could actually be. So I didn't actually get it finished. I did find it. It took me 5 hours to find it because my netbook, while it was plugged in at the computer end, was not plugged in at the wall end. So sometime in the last, 2 weeks, battery died. So I plugged it in and got it to charging. And when the battery's really dead, it won't fire up until there's a bit of a charge on the battery. So I went and I looked at every other computer that I've worked on, looking around, trying to find, and of course being distracted by laundry and other sundry activities. And it was, in fact, on the netbook, where I thought it was, and reminds me that I really need to not leave manuscripts, works in progress in particular, laying around on single computers, because that's a good way to lose them. So, yeah, not so much. Anyway, that's where we were. That's why it took most of the day. And I went through it. I love what's there. And I really am within a few paragraphs of the end. But I don't know what comes next. I think part of it is that I just need to sit down and write something so that I can find out. And perhaps I'll be able to do that this afternoon. Today is the first official day of spring break for the kids. They're home. In theory, it's not spring break for the wife, so she should be going to work. I've got a bunch of stuff I've got to do this morning. But this afternoon is looking pretty empty, which means, yeah, we could get some work done. This could work out. Yeah, I've said that before, I know. Oh, yeah. Oh, into the sun. I just made the turn eastward for the long walk east. I have no idea how long this stretch is, but it's a good distance. And the sun is rising, which is what it normally does in the morning, and shining straight in my eyes. And yeah. So, I was listening to Living Proof Brewcast, their St. Patrick's Day division, St. Patrick's Day episode, Brown Ale for Green Day. And they're near the end of it. I always love listening to these guys talk about beer. The bad part is it makes me want to drink more beer. But they were talking about the value of limitations. And I've been thinking about this for a while. Because one of the big problems that I had in Oregon was the assignments were write a story. I had a couple of places where it was just write a story start. And the stipulation had to be that it was, for example, has to be no more than 500 words, all single line paragraphs. And what do you write? How do you deal with that? The other things that they assigned were very, very closely stipulated. The ones about the exercises where you had to write four different characters in more or less the same setting, or four different characters exhibiting different attitudes, or four characters, the same character, there's one character observing participants at a wedding. So they were really tightly constrained as to what they should be, what they should contain. And those seemed to work pretty well for me. And I'm thinking about writing this short story for J.R. Blackwell's Bulldogs universe, the Galileo Games anthology, and thinking, you know, that was pretty much fun. It was kind of a pain in the ass at first until I got really stuck in. But it was kind of fun. Having the world to write in helped a great deal, I think, in terms of giving me some stuff to work with. Here's that Airstream again. Missouri plate. That's a nice looking piece of gear. Anyway, so they were talking about how constraints can foster creativity, and I think it's true. I've seen it myself. Too many constraints is a bit of a pain, but a limitation, an exercise, an experiment, a defined collection of ideas. That was how I wrote Ravenwood, the original. So I had these defined collection of ideas that I wanted to explore. And it's what's going on with Zyphira's Call right now is that I have this idea that I think doesn't, the problem with it is that it doesn't match what I've written so far exactly. And what I need to do is either stop, go back and make another run at it, or go through and figure out which bits of it need to come out in order to bring it into alignment, or where I need to add something. The stuff that's there right now is pretty good. The stuff that's missing might be the issue. The theme in that book is where you end up is often where you need to be, but not where you thought you were going. So it actually might need to be the theme of the last book, because that is the whole overarching theme of the series. In the first book, it was making bad decisions. You're never too old to make a bad decision. And the idea was that her staying at the village that became known as Ravenwood was a bad decision in terms of it put her at risk and put her in danger and delayed her journey, almost killed her. And on the other side of that is, yes, but she was in a place that was relatively stable when these strange things started happening to her. So when the raven dreams began, she discovered a lot about herself. That's an odd idea that somebody who's over 50 could actually discover things about themselves, but I think it's true. I think it's very true. My experience is I've seen a lot of people who have discovered things about themselves between 50 and 60. I know I certainly have. I'm watching other people explore some ideas, or not, which is another whole issue by itself. So yeah, it was an interesting little jolt. It's an interesting little idea that the constraints, in fact, engender creativity. It was something that I knew. It was one of those moments where something you know gets poked and you get reminded by something else that happens. There's a hawk sailing across the field. Looks like a broadwing. Might be a red tail. Red tails have longer tails. They're all beautios, that is, they have rounded wingtips with 3-4 primaries. Can't really tell because I'm sun dazzled. I finally made the turn north again, so the sun is no longer in my face. But my eyes still think that there's sun in them. So I'm almost back. Around the corner, put together a grocery list, get to the grocery store before things get too crazy today, and get back in time. I've got a therapy session this afternoon. No, therapy session this morning, 10 o'clock. So I need to get to the grocery store and get that taken care of before therapy. And I can take a little break and maybe write a little something. A little something, something. I'm trudging. My hips are saying, ha ha ha, you abused us yesterday, we're going to abuse you today. Yeah, I know. Probably not going to get back out into the yard today. I'll have to save some of that for tomorrow. Just because I can't imagine picking up a shovel. I've got at least 2 more heads that need to get dug out. I just can't imagine doing it. Actually, that's not true. I can imagine doing it, and I can imagine the amount of pain that I would be in if I did. And I can't imagine that I would voluntarily subject myself to that amount of pain. Just me. Oh, yes. Lovely morning. Lovely, lovely. It's going to be a good day. First day of a lovely week. I'm looking forward to it. So here I am, crossing the street, the last street, across the sidewalk, and up to the back gate. And I've done it again. Mile 668. Complete. So, I'm at the back gate. tomorrow is another day. I'll talk to you then.